Lord Jesus, Lord, you promise us the one that conquers, that persevere to the end. Lord, we pray your great grace in our lives. Lord, we pray that your church would hold together, stand together, advance together, move your kingdom together. Lord, that in your name, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses, Lord, of course, we will be part of that. But Lord, that we will be part of the great cloud of witnesses that stands together and says, we advanced the kingdom of God and prevailed. Lord, you say we are more than conquerors, and we need that. We need that reminder, and we need that courage, Lord. Lord, speak into us and build up your church and build all of us up to be faithful to you, to hold one another closer to you in all times. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on it, on the stone that no one knows except he who receives it. The one who conquers and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces. Even as I myself have received authority from my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot out his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will make him a great pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out from it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord Jesus, you tell us repeatedly to the one that conquers. And Lord, we pray it is only going to be by your grace, Holy Spirit, by your power and by your courage filling us that we are able to conquer in this way. But we thank you for these great promises. We thank you for the ones going out ahead of us who are experiencing this. And Lord, we pray that we would be ones who conquer in your name. And Lord, we pray that nothing, no fear, no doubt, no worry, no second guessing, no questions, and no nothing will hold back your kingdom. So Lord, we pray that we're part of your kingdom. And we claim that. We claim that in your name, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the churches, your church. Lord, we lift one another up. We lift up those in the church that are suffering. We lift up those that are in good times right now. Lord, we pray all of it for your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I was reading out of Revelation 2 and 3. Seven churches all says the same basic thing. The one who conquers. To the one who conquers. So church, we have a lot that we want to cover. God is alive. His word is living and active. He is working in your life and in the church's life in 100 ways. We've suffered loss. We've seen victory and gain. We've got questions, unanswered questions, prayers that get answered the opposite of how we anticipated and hoped they would. And all of this is happening and taking place in the context of God's incredible great mercy on us. We don't have the right to question his will. He died for our sins, gave up his life on our behalf. And we can rejoice in that no matter what. You can give thanks knowing that your sins are blotted out, that you have eternal life in Christ forever. It can't be taken away, and we can rejoice in that no matter what. People let you down. And sometimes it even seems like God has let you down. He died on the cross. Jesus demonstrated his love for us. You ever doubt his love? He proved it. He demonstrated it. And now while we were still sinners, he died for our sins. And we can hold to that no matter what. Absolutely hold to that in all times. I want to share something. Would you guys be able to bring me my tablet, please? There's a slide I want to share with you. Many of you would know Mike Aiello. Many of you might not. He is actually the owner. Our church rents this building from him. He's a godly man, and he would say he's not the owner, and he says it, always said it, I'm not the owner, God's the owner, God owns it. And it's a powerful testament. But I went scrolling back in his Facebook feed, and I found this posted back in 2020 at the beginning of COVID, and I think it's appropriate. He wrote this. He said, "With this COVID-19 crisis, it just reinforces what I already knew. When it is your time to leave this world, no one can stop it. We have one life to live each and every day. The material things we invest in are left behind only to be discarded. God, family, and friends are what's really important. Each one of you made an impact on my life, and those relationships have changed me. My relationship with my King has taught me more about the purpose and what true love looks like. My hope and desire is that all of you know the value you have brought to my life and that you all come to have a relationship with him. For I know that knowing him will change your life. Mike." And then he wrote Acts 20:24. Thank you all, and fear not, God's got this. So Acts 20:24 says this. It says, "I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of God's grace." It's a useful reminder. He had written it, of course, 2 years ago or a year and a half or whatever. Didn't know that we would ever be using it directly on his account, but that was his perspective, and anybody who's met him would know that. And it's the right perspective. Paul was speaking those words in Acts chapter 20. Apostle Paul was saying those things. He said, "I don't consider my life of any account as dear to myself." Very dear to us. Mike was. Paul, the people he was speaking to, would have said, "Well, you're very dear to us." So that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of God's grace. That's the purpose. That's it. Mike's rejoicing with the Lord. He's in there for eternity. We know that those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. This is an eternal hope. We mourn with those who mourn. We also rejoice with those who rejoice. Mike's rejoicing right now, right? And so we are in between, and nothing's guaranteed. And tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us. But God's goodness is guaranteed, period, without question. God's goodness is guaranteed. And it's guaranteed by God, not by us. We're wrong. We don't even know how to pray as we should, according to Romans 8:26. We don't even know how to pray right. God's goodness is guaranteed by God, not by us. And that's what we stand on, and that's what we put our hope in. And to the one who conquers, who perseveres to the end, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. That's true of everybody here. You have some course to finish. God tells you when you're done. We all like to think, well, it'll all just kind of slow. We'll finish something and then it'll all kind of work out naturally. And that is not at all how it works. God determines these things. And our job is to give him glory the whole way, remembering that every minute he gives us is on loan from him to use for his glory. Every minute you have, every breath you take is on loan from God for his purposes and for his glory. And when we have that perspective, God just taking what's his. You're already in Christ? Well, okay. I gave my life to Christ. Well, then he's going to take my life. That's how it works. We don't like it. It's upsetting. But that's the perspective we need to have. That's the perspective you need to have about your life and those closest to you. They belong to God. And every minute he gives you with them is a minute that you can build one another up closer to God together. Mike was always very good at that. It's such a blessing. But I want to pray here right now. And if you are near, I'm just going to put you guys on the spot. And I'm sorry if it bothers you. But lay hands on Pat here, on Candy over here as well, and on Bobby Aiello in the back here. If you're sitting near him, lay hands on him. I want to pray over those who have lost. And I don't. If there's other, if you've lost someone else in your life, and you're here, and I've somehow missed you, raise your hand. Someone else will pray over you. They're all running over there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these lives that were able to be shared with so many, and each different. Jay and Corey and Mike, each different families, different circumstances. But Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their lives and for the joyful and the powerful, the good times that we can thank you for. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are good in all times, in the present, in the past, and in the future. We thank you for this. Lord, we lift up Pat. We lift up Candy. And we lift up Bobby Aiello here, just those here. But they're, of course, their families and their extended families. But those here gathered today in our midst in this body of Christ, Lord, we lift them up in your name. Lord, we pray comfort over them. Holy Spirit, you are, one of your names is our comforter. So, Lord, we claim your comfort. And you say you're going to use your church to bring that comfort. You're going to live in us, Holy Spirit, to make us comforters, to be near those who are brokenhearted. Lord, we pray that. We pray your comfort, a peace that surpasses all comprehension, a comfort that comes from you in this. And Lord, we pray for those of us who are not quite as close, not family, but we're in it in one way or another. Lord, that you would build us up and make us better comforters for one another. And Lord, we pray that in this, as we see new shoes to fill and gaps to fill in, and who's going to do this and how are we going to keep going forward, Lord, you don't stop. You are good. You are all-powerful. You hold the universe in your hand, the beginning and the end, and nothing surprises you and nothing gets you off guard and nothing throws your eternal kingdom. Nothing can stop it. So, Lord, we pray a greater courage, a greater boldness, a greater love, a greater faith over all of us, that we would trust you more and closer. Lord, that we would be deeply hungering after you in all things. Lord, be glorified in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Lord, it is a reminder, though, right? The thing you're holding on to, if it's not Christ, the anchor doesn't hold. It's only Christ. He's the only one. And these times of hardship, these times of frustration and personal loss and the craziness in which the world we live in, it's a pretty good way to figure out what anchor you're holding on to, right? Because everything else is not holding right now. And that's really one of the only promises that Jesus gave us that we know for sure about. He says, I tell you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have many tribulations, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He told us that so we'd have peace. That means we need to get our anchor, get our foundation, get our roots, whatever analogy you want to use, in Christ, period. And if we are there, then it holds. Praise the Lord. There's a lot that you're gonna struggle with, and in times where we all pray one direction and then God does like the opposite thing, it messes you up. It throws you off course. It makes you wonder, right? And when it's somebody close, somebody, you know, in your family, somebody that we're all working in the same direction on, you're going to have questions. You go to Scripture. You go to the Bible. The Bible has answers on these things. You have to look. You have to know your Scriptures. If you go into the situation not knowing your Scriptures, then you're going to have to read the whole thing to find your answers, and you might not. Get your anchor, get your foundation in Scripture now, while you have the chance. If you're thrown around right now, get in Scripture. If you're pretty steady, pretty easy right now, get in Scripture, because you're not going to be steady and easy forever. It's going to be something that knocks you off, and you're going to need to go back to the Scriptures to figure out what's true, what's really, really accurate and right, and what perspective to have. And that's where you go. That's where I go when I get bad news. It's like, well, what does the Bible say about this? And that's the answer, and that's what we can hold to. And we can rejoice in that. We know Mike is with the Lord. We know all those who are in Christ are with the Lord. And we can have hope in that. We know that he loves us. Well, how do we know he loves us? Because he died for us. And we know that. And that holds, and that doesn't ever move. I want to give us something. It might be minor in comparison, but the kingdom of God moves ahead. The kingdom of God continues to advance. There's big shoes to fill. Well, there's always been big shoes to fill. You know, the early church, you read the book of Acts. You know what happens by like the end of the book of Acts? All the guys who were there at the beginning are dead. Usually, or torturous bad ways. The earliest believers really believed, like deeply, truly, just with total certainty believed Jesus was coming back in their lifetimes. And he said, you're going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And they're like, okay, that's what we'll do. And then they went out and they did it as best they knew how. And they went in all kinds of directions. The book of Acts just records mostly Paul and a little bit of Peter and some Philip and a couple of guys here and there. But it doesn't give us the full picture. But these guys, that generation, thought they were going somewhere. They thought this Jesus is going to come back. They thought this is it. And then Peter, Paul, James was the first of the 12 disciples to be martyred. They just thought, what's this about? How are we going to do this? Who's going to lead the church now? And that was 2,000 years ago. And the church remains and the church continues to spread around the world. Why? Because God moves his people to accomplish his purposes. Not just one guy, not just a couple of special ones. Man, can you imagine that? Like you're one of the new believers and then like Peter and Paul get killed by Rome. Rome's winning. Rome's not supposed to win. He said, make disciples of the nations, not let the nations rule you. That's not what this was supposed to be. Can you imagine the kinds of questions clouding their minds? And yet the gospel continued. Yet the gospel spread. And so we can do that. We to the one who conquers, keep moving. Yep. There's doubts. Yes, there's pain. Yes, there's loss. Yes, we'll grieve with those who grieve. But we're also going to move together. There's also a greater kingdom of God to continue pursuing and continue spreading. And that purpose that he gives you, man, that's good. That's what wakes you up in the morning. You don't want to wake up because the world's scary, a dark, tragic place. Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But God's kingdom is greater. And that greatness of it can wake you up with a purpose every morning. If you don't know what that purpose is, let's work together. You're in the right place. And let's build this together. And I want to celebrate a small thing. Hank and Cindy, why don't you guys come up here? Hank and Cindy Jancic, it's been quite a while, want to... why did we take so long to do this? I don't know. They're joining as members. They're making it official. Praise the Lord. So, and a few of you have asked me recently... There's major transitions going on in this building, and in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have, glory to God, by faith, we're going to have a lot more classroom space, and we're going to do some more membership classes, because I know a lot of you are waiting for that. But, yeah. So just to answer that question, how do I become a member? There's a three-week class from 9 to 10 in the morning that I will be letting you know about in the next couple of weeks. But Hank and Cindy, you guys have been coming here for a little while now, of course, and you did the membership thing and everything else. And is there anything you want to share? Or? Yeah.
Good morning. It was really interesting this morning. We haven't been feeling well, a lot going on, the news about Mike. And then all of a sudden, Pastor texts us and says, hey, how about joining today? You know,
Let's get it done.
And I looked at my wife. And by the way, if you've never met Cindy, I'm living proof that a blind chicken gets a pebble of corn every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? So there's hope for everybody. You know what I mean? But she looked at me and she batted her eyes. And I said, you know, okay, we're going to do this. And I would say a couple things to you folks. I've always believed in the ministry of presence. You know, like, you know, I go to funerals all the time. And I just be there. And a couple weeks later, they'll say to me, boy, it was so great what you said. And I didn't say anything. I was just there. And it's just good to be here for me today. You know, it's good to be here with people who love the Lord. And who I've grown to care about, you know. And so there's a lot to be said about that. And I don't know about you all, and you know, I think about Mike, and it's been a battle, and I'm still crazy believing he might, I don't know, you know. Where am I going? I don't know about you. Where am I going? You know, I'm in, Lord. You know what I mean? Whatever, I'm in. And that's just all I know, you know. I'm just in. And so that's just the way it is, man. That's just the way we're at, you know. So I want you to know the last thing, and I don't mean to talk too long here. I don't know why you join a church. For me, and it took us a while, we wanted to make sure we were, you know, and not being wishy-washy. And I've grown to know a lot of the people here, and that's been awesome. It's really made a difference. How you treat my family has a lot to do with how I feel about people. And how you've accepted my wife and a board member and what she's doing, her nonprofit, and how generous you've been to her has made a big difference in my life and in my heart. And I want you to know, we have three children that you don't know. They're all married and they're awesome. They all know the Lord. But I appreciate how you've accepted Cindy and have really rallied behind her. And the last thing I say is, I knew a few months ago we were going to come to this church. I came one day, it was a Sunday morning. It's really interesting. And there was three cars. There was this early morning service pastor was doing. It was raining out. There was me and two other cars, Cindy and I, and we had to go somewhere. And I forgot there was two other people there. And pastors, they have this little music going, and we're doing a little singing, you know, in our cars, and it's raining. And he's going to preach. And he's got his little Bible that is waterproof, you know. He's out there. And there's three of us, folks, and he's preaching as if there was 10,000. I mean, he was going, I'm looking around to see if there's anybody behind me. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm in. I'm just really in, you know. So you've got somebody here, I think, we can follow, that we can honor. I don't mean to embarrass you, Pastor, but that's just what I think. So we're really excited to be a member, so thank you very much.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Hey, you're not, don't go yet. We have to make it official. That the if you're a church member and you're willing to have these guys, willing, that's the wrong word, eager, right? I told Cindy she was a shoe-in for this. I don't know. But if you're a member and you're in favor of these two joining as members, it's a yay or nay thing. 1, 2, 3, yay. Yeah. Any nays? Okay, it's official. Welcome. Welcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I think I spelled you guys' name wrong up here. There's a C. That first K should be a C. Is that correct? Sorry. Yes, I... It's not official. It's not... Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, guys, this church service is obviously quite different from usual. We're having multiple things going on here, and I think it's important. We're here to look out for, to anchor ourselves in God's word and in God's kingdom, and to take care of one another. And so that's why we're here. I'm going to share a couple things in just a minute, but we also, one thing after another, right? There's a lot going on. We also like to include and honor our children. They are part of our church, and you children have been doing great today. You're all over the place, sitting still, even though we're doing all of our adult stuff. Let's pray for them. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our little ones. We thank you for the joy, the exuberance, the fun. Lord, the questions, good questions and silly questions and hard questions, all of them. We thank you for young minds that are eager to grow up in faith and eager to be instructed and hungry for more knowledge and more wisdom. And Lord, we pray that we would raise them that way. We pray that we would raise them to be faithful to you. Lord, that they would grow up with a strong, firm foundation. And we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share something, and we're going to be quick. I realize that we've had a lot of different things going on, and I don't want to keep you guys for too long, but I'm going to go because God gave me a word to share, and we're going to share it. That's one of the reasons you came. But we are a church, and we got the banners up. We finally took the Christmas banners down yesterday, so thank you, team, did that. But we are a church that we believe in worshiping Jesus by teaching the Bible, by building a loving community, and by sharing with others. That's what we are here for. Every January, we like to spend couple weeks, just kind of reviewing that and getting it deeper into our minds. And so today I want to talk about the last banner here, the last phrase of it, sharing with others. We believe that God's kingdom is a good one. It's the right one. He commands us to go into all the nations and make disciples of all the nations. He commands us to. We believe in it. And so we want to advance God's kingdom. And really, I'm going to be spending a couple of weeks on this theme, because in the course of praying through things and where we're at as a church, as a community, and as a nation and a culture, I believe that advancing the kingdom of God is just what we need to be about. We're going to be pushing this hard throughout this year, and we always should be. It's part of who we are as a church. It's a part of our mission statement. But in addition, right now in particular is a really, really important opportunity. The world is upside down. The world is dark and confused and hunting answers everywhere. And if the church would stand and advance the truth, that we would know the truth and advance it and proclaim it and share it with others, as it says on the banner, and there's 100 ways of putting this, but that we would boldly stand up and advance, each in our own ways, in our communities, in our schools, and wherever you happen to be. If we will advance this, we can see a total reformation of our culture and our nation. Absolutely, because people are hungry and they're looking for answers. Some are wildly off base, dangerously off base, and they're the ones that get on the news burning cities down and stuff. And we see it, and there's lies and falsehoods all over the place. And this is the opportunity for Christians to stand on what's true and say it loud and say it courageously and boldly. Right now, I think a lot of us have a general idea of what's right and what this world needs, and where we can point at 100 places that we know are wrong. And, well, that's off base. That's out of whack. We need to fix that. We could probably all do that. That's a basic wisdom issue. You know the basics. You know right and wrong. You know wrong when you see it. You know right when you see it. You have a certain amount of wisdom. If you're in your scriptures consistently, you'll multiply that wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of all education, of all anything worth knowing. The fear of God is the foundation of this. But a lot of us, our bigger problem is a courage problem. Because if you already know the basics, that's right, that's wrong, maybe I can't articulate every word of it and I can't explain every detail, but I know the basics. If you know it, good for you. It's the courage, the boldness to go out and proclaim it and to go out and get things fixed and start balls rolling that need to be rolling and advance the kingdom of God instead of just kind of complaining about the kingdom of darkness. We all see it. We all don't like it. Let's do something about it. And so we need some courage. We need to understand what real courage is. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, if we're going to share with others, if we're going to do this, it's going to mean we're going to need a little courage. You're going to have to say something to somebody that you're a little nervous about, that they might get offended by. You're not trying to be rude and obnoxious, but the kingdom of God is a real kingdom. And the people in the New Testament understood that. And the other people in the New Testament killed them because they understood it. It took incredible courage. They were loving, they acted in love and all that, but they also spoke the truth to a place that didn't want to hear it, and in nations and in cities that didn't want to hear it. And it got a response. And the gospel is supposed to get a response. And it can be offensive, and in fact it says it's offensive. It's a cross. Crosses are offensive. Not trying to be mean, not trying to be rude to anybody, but Jesus died on a cross. That was rude. We're just saying so. That's it. And we're reminding people. And his nation, his kingdom is greater than every nation. So I want to show you this. This is our bedrock. Jesus said it. Matthew 28:18-20. It says, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It's a pretty bold statement. All authority in heaven and earth. You think Rome wanted to hear that? Do you think the neighborhood wanted to hear that? Not all of them. A lot of them didn't. That was one of their big problems with him. They killed him. And they said, this is the king of the Jews. We killed him. He's dead. We're better. And he came back from the dead. And as a result, he can claim all authority. Authority over death itself. Okay? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then he left, and he said, "And I told you what to do, go do it." It's going to take courage. This is your wisdom. He just spoke it to you. That's the Bible. Now you know what the job is. What's hard about this? What's hard about it is that it's hard. What's hard about it is that it requires you to actually believe that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and that he is commissioning us to go live it out and then go do it. It's really easy to believe truths are true. Actually going and living them out and living as though they are true is where we really bump into hardship. And that's where the disciples bumped into hardship. And it's where riots broke out and they were killed for it. Because they believed what the Bible told them, what Jesus had told them. Jesus said something else in Matthew 10:28. It's vital to understanding this. He says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul." Who would that be? I don't know. The people who killed Jesus' body, Rome, Pilate, Herod, all these guys, bad guys with power and total corruption. Don't fear those guys. What if you just didn't fear any of that stuff? What if you didn't worry about it? We don't live in Rome. We live in a much freer place than that, obviously. But you can see it moving in the wrong direction, clearly. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I wanted to ask this question to the little ones while they were here. Who is this that we're supposed to fear? Don't fear the ones that can kill the body. Instead, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Somebody call it out. Who is this talking about? God, right? This is talking about God. This is not talking about Satan. People will sometimes say, "Oh, that's Satan because Satan's in hell." No, Satan's in hell because Jesus put him there. Because Jesus has authority over hell. Fear him. Jesus holds the keys to death and hell. Revelation 1 says it. Jesus holds the keys. Don't fear Satan. Don't fear Rome. Don't fear anybody, anything, but fear God. And never stop. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. The rejection of God is the beginning of foolishness and wickedness of all kinds. Anything based around, we're just going to pretend God doesn't exist, put him on a shelf and then go this way, is foolishness and will always result in worse foolishness. Every time. Unavoidable. Fear God. Fear God only. Look, if I'm not supposed to fear Satan or those who can kill me, what fear would I have? I'd have none. I'd have total courage because I've gotten my fear of God straightened out, and everything else is complete courage because I don't have to worry about anything because I'm right with God. If I'm not right with God, then I'm going to worry about everything. I'm going to have fear and anxiety about 100 gazillion things because I haven't aligned my fears right, and I'm going to fear everything else. And that's why our world is full of fear, full of anxiety, full of just total chaos. That's the reason. They don't have the fear of God. They don't have the beginning of wisdom, and therefore they only have foolishness. I want to show you something else in Isaiah 8. It applies to us today as well. He says, "You are not to call conspiracy everything that this people calls a conspiracy." You can stop there and preach like 100 sermons just off of whatever happened in the news last night. Don't do that, he says. Instead, "You are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of armies," or your translation might say the Lord Almighty or the Lord of hosts, "is the Lord of armies whom you are to regard as holy. And he shall be your fear and he shall be your dread. And then he will become a sanctuary. But to both houses of Israel he will be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense and a snare and a trap to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." It goes on from there. The Lord of armies, let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And then what happens? What's the promise attached to it? It says right there, he will become a sanctuary. What's a sanctuary? It's a place of safety. A place of not only of safety, but of sanctification, where you're safe in the Lord and you're growing closer to the Lord. That's what this big word sanctification means. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Stop worrying about what everyone else worries about. Stop believing everything they say, because they say all kinds of stuff. Let the fear of God lead you. The fear of God will give you total courage over everything else, and it will give you total knowledge and understanding of how to deal with everything else. if you're aligned with God first, because that's the beginning of wisdom, and you're not going to do it without it. If you fear God above all other fears, you won't have any fears. The things that make you nervous and worried won't make you worried anymore. That's why the Bible's always telling you not to worry and don't be anxious about anything and don't be afraid and fear not and all this stuff. That's why it's constantly saying that, because the Bible is constantly reminding us, fear God and let the rest solve itself. Let the rest just do it. When Jesus said all authority in heaven and earth, did he establish any boundaries? All authority except this? Every nation except that one? No, of course not. All authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go into all the nations. All of it. Without, there's nothing. So what stops you? What stops the kingdom of God from advancing? Jesus said the gates of hell won't stop it. He said, I've got all authority and I'm commissioning you to go do it, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. So the guy with all the authority commissions us, delegates it to us, and he's with us to the end of the age, and he sent his Holy Spirit to make us holy. So what stops it? Why is the United States of America, where we live, have we made it a disciple? He said make a disciple of the nations. Have we accomplished that? It's a disciple of something, but it's not a disciple of Jesus, teaching him all that I have commanded you. Man, all of it? Yeah, sure, we're great. Praise the Lord. We're blessed. Incredible goodness here. From a foundation rooted in Scripture, and that's why we have the freedoms and the blessings that we do have. But have we made a disciple of this nation? Got a long way to go. You got a long way to go. And this is a good nation. I mean, on certain standards. Compare where else would you want to live, right? Why not? Jesus didn't have borders. He said every nation and all authority. Our borders are where we are afraid to go. That's a boundary of your life. I don't want to go over there because I'm comfortable here. We establish our own borders. Jesus doesn't give them to us. Jesus says all authority, all the nations. We're the ones I don't really want to witness to that neighbor. I don't really want to share the gospel here. I want to teach a lot of the stuff he commanded, but I don't want to teach those things because those will offend somebody, and I don't want to do that. And so we put all sorts of little boundaries on ourselves of what we're willing to do. And the result is if I make a little boundary for myself here and don't touch that, then the world is going to go touch it. If Christians aren't speaking truth into it, shining a light into it, it's going to be dark. If there's a dark spot and it's scary and you're afraid of the dark, and so you don't go shine a light in it, it will remain dark. And things that happen in dark make it darker. Bad stuff happens. And Christians are the light of the world, and we're supposed to go in it. I don't want to be light in that dark place. It's dark. It's scary. What do you think he made lights for? You know, like, let's go do this. Let's advance. Let's advance the kingdom of God. I want to show you this. In the context of fearing God, sets you free from all other fears, gives you courage to advance to all the nations, teach them to obey all that he's commanded. Incredible, incredible promises and a commission, a charge for us to obey. He also says this, Romans 16:20. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I'm sick of Satan. Is that fair to say? Are you sick of Satan? Can we agree on that? He's not going to crush Satan under the feet of somebody who's in a fetal position in the corner hiding and worrying. Those feet aren't moving. Feet that are upright, marching in obedience to God are going to stomp Satan. That's what he said. God's going to do it, but he's going to use your feet if your feet are moving. That's why I read you out of Revelation 1, 2, and 3 today. All of them, to the one who conquers. All those promises in Revelation are to the one who conquers. Not the one who holds on tight and hopes for the best. The one who conquers. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, which is us. Let's conquer. I don't mean go conquer and take up arms and start some revolution or something. It's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about advancing the kingdom of God. in a way that wins, because he's God and he has all authority and he's going to win. And it's just a matter of whether we're marching with him when he wins, or if we're hiding in the back worried about all the things that could go wrong and all the things that are going wrong and what a mess it is and all of this stuff. And we studied over the summer, especially with the children, the armor of God. And one of the reasons you wear armor is to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Well, the flaming arrows of the evil one are scary. I don't want to go do that. That sounds scary. Well, then put on your armor and do it. That's why God said it. He didn't say there are no flaming arrows. If you just read a couple verses and pretend that that's all there is, and by faith there will be no arrows, doesn't say that. It says there will be arrows, and by faith go deal with them and extinguish them. And by faith go stomp on Satan. God's going to crush him. It's going to be your feet. If you're upright and moving forward. And if you're upright and moving forward, it means that you have understood the fear of God and you now have courage to move forward. And if you're struggling with courage and you're struggling with these things, get back into the fear of God and recognize that there's a fear somewhere. You're going to have a fear in your life. You're going to live in some kind of fear, period. We are created beings. We are fallen beings. We are going to die one day. We catch diseases. We have horrible accidents. We live in things. There's a lot to fear. You're going to have fear of something. If it's the fear of God, you will have total courage over everything else. And that is how you can tell if you have the fear of God. If you have other fears, you know, I don't really have the fear of God because I'm worried about this or that. If you're not going into all the nations making disciples of them out of some sort of something, just I don't know what to say, whatever, you're trusting in yourself and your inabilities, or you're not trusting in yourself or whatever because you recognize yourself. Instead of saying, God, fear you. You commanded this. You said all authority in heaven and earth given to you. And then you, with all that authority, you pointed at me and said, go. If I don't go, it means I'm not really obeying God. And if I'm not really obeying God, it must be because I don't fear him quite right. And I have other things that are higher priorities for me. So we need to be a humble church. We need to be humbled under God. Yes, perfect love casts out fear. In the name of Jesus, and God is love, and all of this stuff, he casts out fear. Therefore, don't fear. Therefore, move forward, right? I want to show you a few places how they did this in the book of Acts, and I'm moving fast. I'm going to flip into this one because I think I put it up there, but I like reading this particular passage. The whole page, just being on this page excites me. This is Acts chapter 4. This is early, I mean, it's chapter 4. It's early on in the book of Acts, so the actions of the early church. And how they lived and how they did it. And they faced persecution. And they knew they would because Jesus died on a cross. That was persecution. And he said, follow me with a cross. So they knew it was coming. And this is how they handled it after the first time they were persecuted. they said, I'll start in verse 29. They're praying. They're in a prayer gathering after being persecuted and threatened. And they pray together, and they say, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Their eyes are wide open. There's threats. There's actual threats happening. Threats from the same gang of people that killed Jesus, that had soldiers who were just going to follow orders and, yeah, crucify another guy. Fine, done. Go do it. They had soldiers, they had the crosses, they had nails, they had whips and scourges and a whole process for this, and the whole legal system was so corrupt that they could just do it at their leisure. They did it to Jesus. Okay? Verse 29, now, Lord, look upon their threats. That's those people who can actually follow through on their threats. They have, they've done it in the past. They can do it. Look on their threats. They don't say, and keep us safe. They don't say, and get rid of them and throw them in the ocean and never to come back. They don't say that. Look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Look on their threats and give us the courage to boldly go tell them to repent and go preach the gospel to them. Give us the boldness to do it. We don't have the boldness. We're asking God for the boldness. They have threats. They're known to follow through on these threats. God, you're going to have to give us boldness. Okay? Goes on from there. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, The place which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They prayed for boldness. God gave them boldness. They continued to do it. And read a couple more pages, they started getting killed for it. And they continued to have boldness, and they did it anyway. And a few pages later, the whole world is turned upside down by a couple of uneducated men who are preaching the gospel with boldness, with courage and boldness, and they don't fear Rome, and they don't fear the city council, and they don't fear the anybody's. They don't fear the guys with stones and angry mobs chasing them. They don't fear the guys with crosses and nails. They don't fear any of it. They just advance. And it killed a bunch of them, and they died, and the church grew and continued to advance. And it changed the world. And we're here in North America a couple thousand years later because somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody took enough courage, enough initiative, had enough biblically based wisdom and knowledge to tell you something that got you here today. And our job is to keep this up and to carry it and move it and make disciples so that, look guys, none of us are going to be around forever. Okay, we're mourning the loss of some pillars and some solid people that God raised up. Okay, as though that they somehow those guys take care of it. They're really good leaders. Mike, man, he can do it. Mike'll do it. And God's like, I wanted all you to do it. Some big shoes to fill. Well, Jesus left. Those are even bigger shoes, and he told us to go do it, and we're supposed to go do it. And to in order to do it, we need to have utter dependence on God. Root out your sin. Hate your sin. Ask God to make you hate your sin if you don't hate it. If temptations to sin are still tempting to you, maybe you didn't do them good. I'm glad you didn't follow through. But if a temptation to sin is a temptation, that's a warning to you that part of you still likes that sin. It's tempting. I have to resist it. If I actually hated sin, it wouldn't be tempting anymore, right? This ongoing process of being a totally new creation is meant to cover everything. Work out your salvation into every part of your life because God's at work in you with fear and trembling because God's at work in you and you got your fear aligned with God. And I don't want to disappoint him. Yep, I'm forgiven. We're not under condemnation. But I don't want to just be goofing off over here in the name of Jesus because I carry his name but I'm not actually living for him. No way. I want to show you one other thing. Last week, men, I challenged you, especially in particular husbands. The word husband is a verb. You're supposed to husband your wife. We talked about it last week. If we're going to advance courageously, if we are going to spread the kingdom of God with courage, with the fear of God, if we are going to accomplish something meaningful in the kingdom of God, which all authority in heaven and earth, all I've commanded you, all the nations, that's pretty meaningful. If we're going to get this done, we need to all be pulling together. But in particular, God has ordained by him, take it up with him if you don't like it, he has ordained the men to be the spiritual leaders. That is scriptural, okay? And women, you're to lead as well and lead your families and lead in every capacity that you're here. You're not just like off the hook or something. But I believe, and I believe it because the Bible says it, I believe that if it's a time to advance the gospel, which it is, it always is, and if the world needs the gospel, which it does, and if all the nations need to hear all the words and taught to obey all that he's commanded us, and they do, then there is certainly a responsibility for all the men in particular. I believe this. And I want to show you a word. There's a word that I think has been feminized in our world. It's called encouragement. It's a good word. The feminism, not feminism. It has been lightened. That might be the wrong word. I'm sorry. Encouragement. Here's a verse, Deuteronomy 3:28. It says, commission Joshua. This is Moses. Is God telling Moses to commission Joshua. And encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go across leading this people, and he will give to them as an inheritance the land which you will see. In modern English, the word encouragement is like kind of like, hey, good job, buddy, high five, kind of cheerleading kind of thing. It's a good thing. I like it, support it, it's part of it. But in the Bible, it's always about strengthening and toughening up. That's what it means. This is every single use in your Old Testament of this word, it's hazak. To strengthen, to prevail, to harden, be strong, become strong, be courageous, be firm, grow firm, be resolute, make strong or restore to strength, give strength to strength and sustain, encourage to make strong, make bold, encourage to make firm, to make rigid, to make hard. That is what encouragement means. The primary word in encouragement is courage. That's what it's from. We need courage. This is for men and women, but in particular, I think this is a calling that God has on men. We are to do this. We are to build one another up, to strengthen one another. Not just cheerlead and clap and offer words of encouragement, but offer toughening words, strengthening words, words of power to actually build up and get stronger. This is what we need. This is what the word means biblically, to strengthen, to grow firm, to be resolute. We need this stuff. We have a world that is weak and wavery and doesn't have any resolution. It just wobbles. We need to firm it up. We need to shake it. It's being shaken. We need to figure out where that real foundation is in Christ. Stand firmly on that. Encourage and build one another firmly in it. And so I want to encourage you guys. There's a men's group. It's this Wednesday. It's at 7 right here at church in the evening. Men, if you can make it, come to it. We are there to strengthen one another, to build one another up, to make one another stronger, more rigid and more firm, more resolute. There's all kinds of stuff. We're challenging one another to clean up our language and not curse, to learn how to pray and move our wives and our families forward in the Lord, to raise our children in the Lord, to build one another up. We're on the beginning stages of starting a mentoring program with our men to our younger men, with our women to our younger women, based out of Titus chapter 2. We're going to move in that direction as well, to strengthen, to firm up, to shore up, to build resolute, godly, sturdy people who know the fear of God and therefore advance the kingdom of God in all directions. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Build one another. Let's do this together. I want to pray for us here. We're struggling. We're dealing with hardship. You're facing things. You have questions. You're trying to figure it all out. Let's build one another up. Let's hold one another up. Let's stand together. Let's persevere together. Let's mourn with those who mourn and care for the widows and the orphans. Let's do this. And let's continue to advance the kingdom of God. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we confess our lack of courage. We confess our worries and our fears. We confess not having the fear of God when we should, which is all times. Lord, we confess that we are often content to go into some of the nations and teaching some of the things that you've commanded us with some authority, but not all the authority and not the way you said it. Lord, we confess these things. Lord, I pray that you would build up and raise up a church here, but beyond here, a church, a gathering of believers around the world that know how to have courage and take courage and build courage and grow together, because we fear you and we fear nothing else, and we have total courage over everything else. Lord, make us biblically grounded so we can spread the actual gospel and so that we can teach all that you've commanded us, because we know it, because we read it. Lord, give us a hunger for you. Lord, build up our families. Make our men spiritual leaders as Christ loved the church, and not in some other cultural way that's not defined by you. Lord, we pray for our women, for our mothers, for our wives. We pray for our widows. We pray for our singles. Lord, we pray that this community, this culture that we live in, would have bright lights shining everywhere, into every corner, where darkness doesn't have any room to be. Lord, use each of us to do this. We praise your name. We trust you. We trust your goodness. We trust your total authority. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Church, I want to share one other thing with you in the theme of this, and it might not be for everybody, but in the context of building up a community that has high standards, that serves the Lord, that shines bright lights into dark places, on your way here today, I don't know where you came from, but there's a new shop in town right down here. It used to be the bank, and they're new, and I'm glad there's a new shop and a new business is open. But they're advertising all sorts of, like, just sleazy stuff. Tons of, like, marijuana and tobacco is, like, the main stuff that they're advertising. I talked to a couple other pastors, and I wrote up a short little petition. I'm going to pass it around here, but let me read it to you first. It says, to the owners of the new convenience store at York Springs, Welcome to our community. We're thankful that you have brought a new business to our town. We are a community that holds high standards for one another, and we welcome others who share our values. We politely request that you remove the flags and advertisements with marijuana and tobacco pictures on them. We believe these advertisements have a corrupting influence on our community, our image, our welfare, and our young people. We want to ensure that our community upholds high standards. We do not believe that there is much of a market here for these kinds of products either, and we ask that you stop advertising them. In addition, we believe that your business will do better in our community if you find different products to carry altogether. I'm going to pass this around. I'm just going to start over here. It says petition from the residents of the York Springs community. You might not be a resident of the York Springs community, but you're in church in the York Springs community. You can sign it. You're not like 100 miles away. But pass it around. If you want to sign it, you're welcome to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I'm not pursuing a legal route on this. I'm just trying to pursue a community with high standards and ask inform the new neighbors that this is where our standards are. I hope that it will be a good influence on the community. My understanding is there's some ordinances that the borough is looking at, but that's a whole different thing. That's not, I don't have any standing with the ordinances, but we're trying to. We see darkness in some corner, we're going to go shine a light there. That's all this is. But feel free to just kind of pass that around. And I'm trying to keep all the signatures on one page front and back. If we need a second one, we'll get them. But it might make it slow. If you need to go, you can just button line and go sign it here. But because I'm going to pray and I'm going to dismiss you and the things over there somewhere. But we need courage. We need to go shine brightly. We need to advance the kingdom. When we see the kingdom of darkness coming, we don't just wring our hands and worry and complain about it. We shine a light in it. That's what we do in the name of Jesus. Let me pray one more time. Lord Jesus, Lord, we pray your kingdom come. Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no dark corners. In heaven, there's no sin. In heaven, there's no corrupting influences. In heaven, there's no fear of offending someone. Lord, in heaven, there's no laziness where we don't even feel like getting up. Lord, in heaven, there's no corner of heaven that doesn't know your name and doesn't worship you. Lord, so we submit to you and we pray on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives, in our personal lives, in our decisions, in the things we set our minds on and let our eyes look at. Lord, we pray on earth as it is in heaven, in our eyes, in our minds as it is in heaven, in our families as it is in heaven, in our community, in our church. Lord, humble us, make us faithful to you, make your name great. Lord, give us courage to advance your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That will take courage. Give us courage. Give us men that will lead courageously. Give us churches, multiple, many churches that will conquer. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, build up your churches. Build them up that we would conquer. In your name, with your kingdom, with the fear of God and not using any other fear, with total faith, with love for our neighbors and love for our enemies. Lord, make your kingdom come. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, church.